Now, Sammy, do you walk very much?
I'm a runner. So I run, do the 5K.
I was pretty chuffed yesterday when I got 10,000 steps on my exercise tracker. I can't imagine what our next guest clocked up when he walked for over 5 years from Cardiff in southern Wales to Cardiff in New South Wales. That's right, Sammy, you heard me. He walked for over 5 years, finishing just last year. He was walking to raise awareness for clean water, and he's in Melbourne as part of the Sustainable Festival. Good morning, Arjan Bogle.
Good morning.
My
Thanks
God.
For having me.
You're like, whenever I love walkers beyond, I can't even talk to you right now. I'm so excited that you're here.
But okay, so one question right away is why? But why?
I get that question a lot.
All right, good.
And then I used to ask myself that question a lot while I was
Did
on
you
the
have
road.
Moments in like on year three where you're like, but why?
It was kind of every day around about 3 o'clock.
Okay,
great. For 5 years.
Yeah. But it kicked off as a gag, didn't it? You're 22. You're making gags.
Yeah, so I remember I was reading something about water aid and about like how some families walk for like tens of kilometers a day to source their own clean and safe water. And then I remember having a conversation with some friends about a couple who were cycling around the world and another guy who was converting a car to take something other than petrol and traveling around the world. And I was still thinking about the families and thought, I wonder what it would be like to walk around the world. And it was kind of a passing comment.
And you can only think that when you're 22. That just that.
No, 39-year-olds don't have that thought. You're right. Yeah.
And then so it kind of snowballed into an actual thing. Like we started getting in contact with some people, and people were saying, "Yeah, sure, sounds like a great thing. We'd like to support you. We'd like to help you out." And then one thing leads to another, and we're suddenly on the.
From a logistics point of view, how do you fund such a thing? How do you get the money for the shoes, for just the surviving? That's a big concern. I'm sure the $20 shoes wouldn't last beyond the first few steps. You're obviously getting something good.
So I think over the 5 years, I used 12 pairs of shoes. But in terms of funding, it was essentially we saved up for a year. So we thought of the idea, and then we were still at university at the time. So we kind of saved as much money as we could, friends, family, and also we had some sponsors on board as well. So
you are, I mean, this walk is, there's so many dimensions to discuss in this. One of them that's really interesting, though, is the places that you walked into, including Dubbo. Mm-hmm. Some of the countries were really unsafe, and you got yourself into a bit of trouble.
Yeah. Sometimes for not the reasons that you would think. So in terms of like we were walking,
you weren't
across,
walking too fast or anything, and you got pulled over.
No. In places like Kazakhstan, sometimes there'd be like 300 kilometers between towns, so we'd have to like kind of collect our own water and like store it and take it with us, essentially. So at one point we ended up suffering from what we would later find out to be dysentery for like a good like a few months. And then in other countries like Kyrgyzstan, we ended up running into corrupt police. So we ended up going to jail for a few days. And then when I went solo after my friend returned home after the Dale incident, ended up having to...
Sorry, the Dale incident being...
The jail
incident. Oh, jail incident. Yeah. All right. So I thought like the town of Dale, you're like, this place sucks, I'm going home. No.
Yeah. All right. So he decided to go home after that. And then I had to reorientate the route after he left because of a winter, essentially, and snowed under mountain passes. And then so I ended up having to go through Afghanistan, which wasn't too much fun. Ended up having like seven men pointing AK-47s
at
me. And
that's
like,
good news, you're not going through a mountain pass. Bad news, you're going to Afghanistan with mountain passes. Yeah. At some point, you're doing this journey and you reach Australia, you reach your destination. Mm-hmm. Do you have that thing of like, well, now what? Did you have a moment of questioning what to do next? Or is it, this journey's done, I've completed that, and next project is, ready?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a feeling of like, what do I do now? Like, I spent the last 5 years making distance every day, making sure I did, because we tried to do like 30 to 40 kilometers a day, and now I just sat. doing not much. Like, essentially, what I do most of my time is write, so... Yeah, it was a bit of adjustment.
And what happens, this is where I get super fascinated with these long endurance sport or thing that you've done. What happens to your mind? is there a point, and this is my interest, do you kind of get over and transcend your kind of physical experience because it is so resounding that you've got to find a way through it? I love this song.
Sure.
Sure, Sammy, I need to hear from the man.
Kind of, because, I mean, a lot of the time you're in a bit of pain. Like, I've had a bad back since Germany.
That's a t-shirt right there.
And, like, you have a lot of blisters and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, there is a certain amount of transcendence in terms of the physical.
Thank you.
And you essentially, I had a friend in Kyrgyzstan, and his friend went home as well. So he was traveling alone, and he told me everything will become, once you go alone, a solo, like, everything will become more profound, and, like, yeah, you'll even start talking to yourself. And I was like, no, I'm not that guy. It took all of, like, 2 weeks before I was talking to myself. And I only realized talking to myself when I got to a city, out of, like, going through the mountains, coming to a city, shopping in a shop, and I was just having a discussion about biscuits, and this old lady was just looking at me like I was crazy.
And you didn't even know you were doing it.
No, yeah, and I just realized what I was doing and just quickly moved on.
As you should. When we've been talking about, like, collecting things and the collections people have, yeah, when you're doing that kind of a walk, you can't take your things with you as such.
Yeah, so I was listening to this while I was waiting, and essentially my thing is just getting rid of as much stuff as I can.
Yeah,
I hear you.
I even turned into that guy that was cutting a toothbrush in half at one point because my pack was just so heavy. Because after, when I started going solo, I couldn't push a cart up a mountain because it was the first mountain pass I was going to come up to on Border Walk. So I had to get rid of everything and just kind of put it all on my back. So I was carrying my food, my water, everything, my tent, everything on my back. So yeah, I was just getting rid of everything. Like my daily, like, you know, the best thing I could do every day was just, like, try and pick something to get rid of.
Wow. You've written a book, or you're writing a book.
Yeah, yeah.
There's hopefully going to be a documentary when you're able to cut down 5 years of footage, yeah, that wasn't stolen in Dubbo. That's another story.
Yeah.
But people can kind of touch in with this story. You're going to be doing talks as part of the Sustainable Festival.
Yeah.
Obviously, a central part of this is the clean water message that and water aid that you've been working with. Where can they catch up with you?
So on the website, borderwalk.co.uk, and you can find loads of information about the walk, about the charity, and also you can grab some tickets to come and see me on Sunday and the Sunday after. Yeah, I'll be talking about the walk as well as the charity Water Aid, and also you'll be able to see, like, footage from the documentary coming up, and also pictures from essentially along the journey.
Really quickly, at this point, at any point through the walk, did you have your parents just calling you up every day going, where are you now? Are you safe? When are you coming home?
Did you have a tracker?
Yeah, so I had a Spot GPS tracker, and essentially it was like an SOS thing, but you can also, like, check in, and so people, it sends, like, text messages and emails to people that, you know,
you're alive,
you are moving forward, because GPS, so you can track your whereabouts as well.
Well,
and that I want to give my kid.
Yeah, that's yeah, exactly yeah, right. Your whereabouts on Sunday will be at Library at the Dock. We can track you there. And as we said, you'll be there speaking as part of the Sustainable Living Festival. Jean Bogle, it's so great to meet you. I feel like I've met a rock star of the walking world. I know that confuses you.